I'm pretty sure you've not heard all that. So stick with me for a little while I try to bring to us a perspective from the gospel of the kingdom on the significance of water baptism. I hope to be able to capture most of you right up front, but I'm fully vested in the notion that we need God the Holy Spirit to show up and teach us these things. So please join with me as I pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much just for literacy. You've granted to us an educational system that will allow us to read. And so we're able to come to the written word, be exposed to it in such a fashion that by your Spirit you can open the eyes of our understanding. I believe you have shared with us wonderful things. I think you've given me some insights, Lord, that I want to deliver today. But I know this, mind to mind will not change heart to heart. So I ask for spirit-to-spirit communion today through the spirit of wisdom and revelation to the glory of Christ in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. I spent time with you last week on the historical aspects of water baptism from the perspective of the Jewish rites of ceremonial cleansing, and what water baptism was in the ministry of John the Baptist, a calling back to looking forward. He was calling all of Israel, not just the proselytes, to be baptized in anticipation of the imminent appearance of their Messiah and King. A couple of weeks before that, we looked at the two questions that got Jesus crucified. Are you the Messiah? Are you the King? We saw from Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, he said, yes, he's the Messiah. Yes, he's the King. You killed the King. It's time to repent of that. We're going to go back to that verse in a little bit and start moving our way forward. But I want you to remember that water baptism by immersion was normative for the early church. It did not understand it in any other context. But when we took the gospel of the kingdom from within the world to within the walls, everything started to get redefined under the auspices of religion rather than the King. All right? So let me show you a few things that many of you will have been exposed to with regard to how church treats the forms of baptism. You've heard them sprinkle, pour, and immerse. Here you see several excerpts that I collected for you. Baptism may be administered by sprinkling, pouring, or immersion. Make note of this. According to the choice of the participant. Well, let me see the menu on baptism. I'm in my good gown today. Just sprinkle a little bit on my head. Secondly, what is the meaning of the word baptize? Baptize means to apply water by washing, pouring, or sprinkling, or immersing. That's from the Luther's Small Catechism. Dipping of the person into the water is not necessary. How many of you ever heard that? Thank you for being honest. The baptism is rightly administered by pouring or sprinkling water upon the person from the Westminster Confession of Faith out of the Presbyterian Book of Confessions. And how is baptism given? It's given by pouring water over the forehead of a person. That's the catechism for adults within Catholicism. Now, I just want to say right up front, if you've been baptized that way, that's okay. We can always fix it. If you want it fixed. But you've got to have a reason to have it fixed. All right? Now, as long as you're going to play within the walls, if you're going to take the gospel and change the context of it to fit inside your walls, you can redefine that stuff any way you want to. We can all agree that we're going to be that way and we'll just go be that way. Because if the only purpose it serves is to satisfy something within the context of religious groupings, then it doesn't really matter how you do it. Just decide which one you're going to do and do it. Because as long as the context is wrong, it's just as ineffective as if you were doing it in some other fashion. You understand me? Now, I'm coming after something. So, I think I got most of you up front, didn't I? And if you're sitting there thinking, no, you missed the Baptist, hang on, I'm coming. Now then, some teach that water baptism, they say it's necessary to salvation. I was with one of the brothers this week. They had taught on baptism on their program. and had gotten a call from a very irate man full of dogma about the fact that if you're not water baptized, you're not saved. We've even got folks in this town say, if you don't speak in tongues, it doesn't matter if you've been water baptized, you're still not saved. Because we continue to misrepresent the context of salvation. Others teach that it's an outward sign of an inward grace. I told you I was coming after you. That was us Baptists. All right. Well, it's just an outward sign of an inward grace. Okay. And so I went into it like four times. It finally took. Some teach that water baptism is necessary for church membership. Our little Baptist church loved my little wife, loved our little children. Wouldn't let her teach in the Sunday school because she had not been water baptized by Baptists. She had been water baptized by immersion following coming to Christ, but it wasn't done by a Baptist, so it wasn't real. Look, we believed that stuff. Do you understand me? You're laughing at it. We were in it. She submitted to it simply because she loved them and wanted to teach the kids. But when you're in that thing, it governs the way you see stuff. You realize that? Thank God we have come some distance from that. Others teach that baptism is, you know, it's an okay thing. It's not necessary. If you never get around to it, well, that's okay too. Boy, does the devil love that one. Okay? I'm going to ask you later anyway, so I'm just asking them. How many of you have never been water baptized? Okie dokie, I have a word for you. How many of you have been water baptized by sprinkling? Okie dokie. How many of you by pouring? Yes, sir, Rebob. You see why I need to teach on this? You're all messed up. Look, appreciate this. Most of us came into this stuff in good conscience, administered those truths by people of good conscience. And I'm saying that the proper context is the gospel of the kingdom, not the gospel of salvation, not the understanding of the local congregation in whatever its deal is. Okay? So I'm intentionally putting my finger on these things, so you'll sit up and go, well okay, then what is the truth? Well, I'm going to give you a facet of it this morning. If we're going to consider water baptism, we need to take a look at it in its proper context. And I want to submit to you that inside the walls of any building is not the proper context. I'm not talking about going out to the river, which we often do, the swimming pool, which we regularly do. I'm talking about the context of the gospel. The gospel of the kingdom has water baptism as an integral part of it. Peter says in Acts chapter 2, repent each of you and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because of the forgiveness of sin, on account of the fact that your sins have been forgiven, as a part and parcel of the awareness that your sins have been wiped away. Be baptized in his name and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, remember, what was it that Peter was asking them to repent of? Now, we took a look at this. We've got a lot of guests here today, and some of you who missed last week, there's a little bit of compulsory repetition for the sake of the fact, A, they didn't hear it, and B, you didn't get it the first time. So, he comes to them, and he preaches this first sermon. Understand, this is the birthing of the church corporate. We had the little bitty deal going on when Jesus breathed on the disciples and said, receive you the Holy Spirit, but don't go anywhere, just stay right here until you receive the promise of the Father, and the promise of the Father came. Whoosh, wind, fire, boom, tongues, hey, oh, now we got a crowd. And Peter stands up to preach, and he responds to the two questions that kill Jesus. Are you the anointed one? Are you the king of the Jews? That's what put him on the cross from a linear thinking perspective. Peter stands up on that day and says, yes, God has made him both Lord and Christ. That is, all right, you guys killed the Messiah you've been looking for. And they said, ooh, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter says these things. Repent. Repent of what? Repent of having rejected the king. Okay? And be water baptized. Why? And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then he goes on to say, with many other words, he exhorted them, verse 40 and verse 40, he exhorted them to be saved from this wicked generation. Now we get clarity about this thing that he's doing from Acts chapter 26, verse 18, when Jesus comes to Paul and says, listen, Here's what I'm sending you to do. Am I getting too far in my head, sound room? No, I'm right with you. I'm sending you to open their eyes, to bring them from darkness to light, from the rule of Satan under the rule of Christ. And as a consequence, your sin will be forgiven and you'll receive an inheritance among all those who are sanctified by faith in me. All right? You see this? So what are they walking into? Their eyes have been closed. How were they closed? Because the eyes of the soul had been governing things. The head first religion had been running rampant since Sinai. Obey the law. Do this. Don't do that. Okay? But their eyes were closed even to the reality of Christ, the Messiah, the King they'd been waiting on even when he showed up. And so now we have a definition that covers the entire spectrum of the commission of Christ to his followers, that we are to go in and announce that slavery to darkness is ended and that liberty is available. You now have an inheritance in time and space and one in eternity. That's what we get to declare. And what should the response be? Well, let's look at verse 40 again in Acts chapter 2. He says, be saved from this perverse generation. And when we talked about the definition of what it means to be saved, we included these two nuances which are relevant to the testimony of Peter concerning the King. To be saved means to deliver from the penalties of messianic judgment. Is there going to be messianic judgment? Absolutely. God has made him both Lord and Christ, who is also going to judge the quick and the dead. Okay? And I'm not talking Sharon Stone and Gene Hackman. More of you saw that than I thought. It was a really lousy movie. But secondly, take a look at the second nuance. To save from the evils which obstruct the reception of messianic deliverance. Now, that's not salvation. You understand me? Let me say it like this. It's a part of salvation, but it is not part of being born again. What does it mean to be delivered from the obstructions? What's an obstruction? It's something that gets in your way, or if you've backed up over it, it's something that keeps you from going forward. Right? An obstruction to what? To the messianic deliverance. Salvation is being saved. And it comes down to the regeneration of your spirit, remission for your soul, and resurrection for your body. You see it? Have you been completely saved? The answer is no. You will not be completely saved until you have been resurrected.
Let's process that for a moment, because we always think that salvation has to do with going to heaven.
Does your soul need to be saved? How? Well, you ask Jesus. No, that's how your spirit gets born again. How does your soul get saved? Through, you love this, suffering. How many of you know we avoid suffering with all that is within me? Okay? And the Lord just seems to keep sending it, right? Jesus learned obedience by the things he... Does that mean he was disobedient? No. Listen, all you've got to do is obey the Holy Spirit and you're going to suffer. I promise you. Okay? But make note that this element, the second element of being saved, refers to the impact of water baptism on your life. And I'm going to make it very, very clear to you. And so when they heard these words, they were baptized that day and there were added about 3,000 souls. Now then, our Acts 26 lesson spoke to us about dominion. Remember, coming out from the dominion of Satan under the rule of Christ, the dominion of God. And when we talked about dominion, we took a look at Ephesians 6, chapter 6, verse 12. How many of you know this? Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. But I love to struggle against other flesh and other blood. That's why I need to forgive. No, look, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against what? Y'all can say it out loud. And and spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. Now, does that sound like, you know, like bad? Is that like them against you? Okay, we already talked about the fact you're trying to take all this stuff on. That's like you taking your Swiss Army knife, marching on Washington and declaring war against them. Okay, you lose. But this is the context, all right? These were the rulers of the darkness that held you in captivity until Jesus was declared to you. That's where you lived, under the dominion of Satan. And while you were out there, you learned to do stuff.
Didn't you? Look at somebody and say, I'm not going to tell him, but I'll tell you, yeah, I learned some stuff.
And you developed appetites, didn't you? And you learned prejudices, didn't you? And you had all manner of clutter in your life, didn't you? You were one hosed up dude. Or dudes. And when you came into the body of Christ, when you accepted Jesus as your Savior and you had that glorious encounter with God where suddenly life came up inside of you, you were radically altered in every area of your life, weren't you?
Right.
Of course you weren't. Why? Because there were things that you had given yourself to. You had yielded your members as instruments of unrighteousness and had developed patterns and appetites that took you a while to overcome. Some of which you still struggle with. Didn't you? Don't look at me like I've never been in a counseling session before in my life. Now then, if that be true, then what purpose would water baptism play in this thing? All right, everybody who's got saved, let's get wet. Hey, look, we can do that at Six Flags. Right? What role does water baptism play for us in coming out from under to submit ourselves to? Right? So let's spend a little bit of time on this. Baptism, how many of you have ever read an obituary or know somebody that did? All right? What's an obituary? It's that thing which announces someone is
no longer among us.
How many of you know the junk mail keeps coming? If you've ever had to clean up an estate, you know the junk mail keeps coming. The dead person continues to receive credit, pre-approved credit card offers. All right? All right? Okay? The mortgage company continues to send the notices that you have not paid your mortgage this month. Am I telling the truth? You know, all this stuff keeps coming. And let me ask, do you think it irritates that dead person one tiny bit? Why? Because they're dead. Okay? Once they're dead, it doesn't matter if they had a traffic court appearance on the 27th of next month and a bitch warrant is issued for them on the 28th. They could care less. Why? Because there's no entanglement that remains between the dead person and the life they knew. Do you see it coming? All right. So God puts water baptism in this thing for you and the heavenly witnesses. Water baptism is that burial you go through where you announce to your past life and all those who had access to you because of your past life, look, I'm dead now. Water baptism is your burial service. Now, aren't you glad that we baptize with water rather than cremate before you go on to your next Bible study? There's something here I want you to lay hold of. Water baptism is the announcement of your living obituary. Do you physically die? No. But do you get buried? Yes, you do. And the scripture makes it very clear. And the necessity for your death is expressed in baptism because it is where you bury the pre-you. Jimmy Buffett has a great line in a song. I've heard that this guy is down in the Caribbean with his love, and some gal comes snorkeling by, and she lifts up and waves, and this gal says, "Who was that?" And he goes, "Oh, well, she was pre-you." Now, I want to submit to you that the person who goes into the baptismal waters is the pre-you. All right? And the person who comes out is the hidden in Christ you. All right? And it doesn't matter what condemnation you were subject to prior to them. Doesn't matter what your past was. Doesn't matter what accuracy is detailed in your profile over the sheriff's office. Doesn't matter what your high school transcript says about why you got kicked out. Doesn't matter what the divorce decree says about what you were that led to that. When you go into those waters, all the condemnation that was piled upon that person who lived that life stays right there because this person is now dead and the one that comes up is moving in resurrection life. Now that's different from saying, well, you know, you can be baptized if you want to, but it's not really necessary, and so that's entirely up to you. And if you decide to do it, well, you know, if you don't want to get all wet, we just and call that it. How many of you know how much trouble you'd get into if you went out to the cemetery to bury somebody and just sort of throw a shovel full on their forehead? Got the picture? God intends to kill you. Okay? It's the intention of your Father that when you come into His loving arms, He is going to put you down. Why? Because when you come to Him, you start moving in Adam. You are dead in trespasses and sins because you were born into the first Adam. For in Adam, all die. Okay? But there is a new Adam. There's a second Adam. He's also called the last Adam. And that Adam is a life-giving spirit. I'm messing with the sound room so badly. They're trying to follow me, and I'm just jumping all over my notes. But I'll come back to that part. It's really good. Just hang on. In Romans chapter 7, beginning in verse 8, there are some things there that I've summarized for you, and I'm not going to read all that because there's a boatload of scripture here. If you're taking notes, go sort it out yourself. And if you're not taking notes, you're going to miss most of this anyway, so download it from the web. And if you don't have web, order the CD in the back, because I promise you there's so much here you're not going to get it all. But apart from the law, sin is dead. Okay, these are precepts you can dig out of scripture, and I'm giving you the verses. God gave the law so that sin would live. Well, thank you, Daddy. And then sin came alive to condemn me for failing the law. Y'all see that? The law was manifest so that sin could be utterly put on display that it is completely sinful. And what is the wages of sin? Death. All right? Why? Because the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Why? Because the moment the law is put in place, there is now assembled a tribunal where a prosecutor can come, look at your violations, and demand the death penalty.
We'll come back to that. Hold the thought.
But notice that you inherited this condemnation of death from your dead father, Adam. But God promises that in Christ you will find, you will become, you will have access to, you will be made alive in Him because Christ is the life-giving Spirit. Now in Romans 6, 1 through 7, chase this later, but hear this part. Paul is speaking to those of us who died to sin. Did sin have a hold on you over here? Okay? Does anybody remember the movie Pinocchio? If I say marionette, lots of folks, these younger kids, don't know what I'm talking about. But if I mention Pinocchio and strings, they get it. Right? Remember all that? Or need I go on? All right. When you come into the waters of baptism, guess what? Snip, 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 snip. You are no longer required to obey sin. Do you understand me? Whatever hold it had on you, we buried that you. We're demonstrating what the blood of Jesus done in breaking the power of sin. You don't deal with the power of sin anymore. All you deal with are your acquired appetites for sin. You just change your diet. Are we getting this conceptually? Nod at me once in a while. Esther, I'm looking. What do you say, honey? Nod. Okay. Buried with him through baptism. Our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with. Now, these are conceptual realities I need you to lay hold of. You need you to lay hold of. Water baptism is a funeral service. It's your agreement with God that you're dead. Okay? Oh, look, my obituary. I must be dead. From that point forward, what are you supposed to do? Reckon yourselves as dead to sin and alive to God. Are you dead? I reckon. That's not exactly, that's very Southern, but it's imprecise. Okay? Bless my heart.
Our first-time guests are coming to the reality there's some heckling that goes on here from time to time.
When you own this emotionally, you are not easily provoked in the manner by which you could be easily provoked before. Because you start to own something, that I am dead and my life is hidden with Christ in God. Now, let me ask you something. I want you to imagine whatever picture you have of God, give him form. And I want you to step back into him like through the Stargate. Okay? And now the devil is out there trying to accuse you, and every time he points his finger, who's he pointing at? And where are you hidden? So there is therefore now no condemnation. Are you getting this? See, water baptism is supposed to be a sign. It's a sign to the heavenly realms. They can't mesh with you anymore. And it's a testimony to you, I can't be messed with anymore. Because I am dead. And the life that I now live, I live through the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. See? This is a whole lot more than getting wet. It is a statement of something significant. In slide 17, we're looking at the summation of Romans 8, 11 through 17. Water baptism announces to the heavenly realms your living obituary. It's where you cease to acknowledge and listen. It's where you cease to acknowledge and cooperate with the former you in lifestyle, attitude, and recollection. What can you recall about your past? It's a shuddering thought. And that's the hold the devil, through your family and all your former friends, will pin on you. Ever play pin the tail on the donkey? All right? Everybody who used to know you when you were over here has got that tail. And every time you show up at a family reunion, a high school reunion, a college reunion, somebody's trying to pin that tail back on you. Oh, I remember what you were. Yeah. And keep it were. Because I'm not that anymore. How do you know?
I was baptized June 21st, 2007.
What does that mean?
It means I'm dead.
We can have humor with it, but I want to tell you something. Water baptism is the definitive mark that you have changed governments. Okay? It's the baptism ceremony where the dead go. But Christ has become the life-giving Spirit. And if that same Spirit, which raised Jesus from the dead, dwells in you, He shall give life to your mortal body. That's not about resurrection from the dead. That's about resurrection from baptism. Do you understand me? Your glorified body is not going to have a mortal body. If that Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He shall give life. He will animate what comes out of the pool. And the goal of this you in Christ person is to be led by the Spirit of God. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. And I'm telling you, the Scripture says, no one can lay accusation against you. No one. That includes you. Did you hear that? Your accusation is your own vanity. God's not listening. Look, God, I'm just going to take a time out and beat myself up. I'll be back in a little while. Don't go to the corner. There can be no accusation laid against you, even by you. Why? Because the stumbles you make coming out the other side have got nothing to do with what dominates your life on the other side. Are you getting this? See, water baptism should be a watershed event in our lives because it's where condemnation ceases. Because the former life that merited condemnation is now 6 feet under. And the one who comes up walks in newness of life because I have submitted to another government and another king. Let's play this scenario. John makes a statement for us in 1 John 2:1. He says, my little children, I'm writing to you that you sin not. But if any of you sin, we have an advocate with the Father. What is an advocate? Somebody who represents you on your behalf. What do we call them? Lawyers. All right? Please, please be kind when you think of Jesus as a lawyer. However, here's the drama. You're sitting there at the defense table, and Jesus is your advocate. The accuser of the brethren stands up and recounts all the wrongdoings of your life and demands satisfaction on the basis of the law. Do you see it? The defense attorney, who happens to be your brother, stands up and says, your Honor, I object, to the judge, who happens to be your father. I just sort of feel like it's a setup. And he says, Father, everything, let me see, the defense will stipulate the accusations of the prosecution on the basis that all of that is true concerning who my client once was. But everything that he owes on behalf of that debt, I call the court to remind, I have satisfied that debt entirely. And consequently, my representative, my client,
you know, Dad, my little brother,
should be set free on the basis of the fact that the penalty has already been satisfied. How is that possible? Because we who are dead, Paul says, we have died to the law and we live to the Spirit. And the only basis the accuser has is the law. That's all God gave him to play with was the law. But in Christ Jesus, this was the hidden wisdom of God. In Christ Jesus, we've been set free from the law and have been given the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. So that we are no longer slaves to the law to sin, but we now present our members as instruments of righteousness, as slaves to God the Holy Spirit. We are free from the law. Therefore, we are free from condemnation. Water baptism is the testimony in the earth before the heavenlies. You have changed governments. I like it. I think we ought to go get wet. I want to say this. Let me encourage you. In closing, I want to say this. You need to build a memorial to these truths. Look at that. They're picking up their purses already, putting away their pens. That's the last time I give you a clue. It's almost over. Somewhere in the next hour, I'm going to finish this message. Keep taking notes. You need to build a memorial to the truth that you have changed governments. And it's not a function of you choosing which form you'd like to have so you don't mess your hair up. It's not a matter of saying, well, you can or you can't. Because the context is not the walls of the church. The context is the world. You are born into Christ on a battlefield. And you want every advantage that you have. As far as you're concerned, this is like war games. Once you put the patch on, you get a free pass. Nobody can bring accusation against you anymore, including you. Now, I was first water baptized by immersion when I was 12 years old, because everybody else was. I was later baptized by immersion because I realized that I got baptized by immersion before I was born again, and I thought perhaps I ought to do it like the Bible says. I was baptized by immersion later on in the name of Jesus because I fell under the influence of those who said, if you haven't been baptized in the name of Jesus, you haven't been properly baptized. And I'd only been baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost twice. Later in life, I got clarity because I understood that whatever is not of faith is sin. And I came to understand the value of water baptism to someone who understands the value of water baptism. And I submitted to it in the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit for the fourth time. For the first time in that format. But it was always by immersion. And my testimony is, it settled something. Okay? So I want to submit to those of you who have been poured and sprinkled and not at all. I want to encourage you to consider the scriptures I've recommended you go read, the presentation from the perspective of the gospel of the kingdom that I've offered you this morning. And if you would like to be water baptized, we can arrange it most any day because Katrina has pool. And yet we're having a pool party. In your bulletin, you'll see it. If you think it's time for you to make a public declaration in time and space before the heavenly witnesses, I encourage you to put your name on the list. Be prepared to make your declaration and let us bury you that you might walk in newness of life. Okay? All righty. Amen. All right, we got anything cooking? We do have things cooking. Well, good. Come up here and share the recipe with us. We practice the manifest presence of God, the Holy Spirit. That is, we make Him welcome. We believe that He comes to manifest Himself through us in words of knowledge, words of wisdom, gifts of tongues and interpretation, prophecy, healings, working of miracles. And we believe that He does that. And so He does. It's funny. You know, I had a friend of mine tell me recently he was talking to somebody who was a strict Calvinist. That people are predestined to come to God. And he said to him, don't you think it's interesting that those people who preach the necessity for repentance, they just seem to find more of those people who are destined to come to God? John, you available for lunch? All right. I've been looking for you. I didn't know you were there. Okay. So in our practice of obedience to the Holy Spirit, we invite Him to come and express Himself through us. And so frequently, we will get folks who will say to us, I feel like the Lord is saying. And then they'll come submit that to us, and we'll judge it. And if you feel like it's a word for you, you respond to it, and God does great things. So.
And it's the strangest thing. We asked this morning for specific words for specific people.
Yes, we did.
And we have some. So if... Is Jim still here?
Which Jim? Curry?
Yes. He was here earlier.
Okay. Curry is. Jim, we just got a fax in, brother.
And Marie has a word for a parent. Would you come up? Carolyn?
A Karen?
No, Carolyn. Carolyn is coming.
Oh, Marie has a word for a parent.
A parent, yes. And Carolyn has a word for Dawn.
Do we know which parent?
No, she will explain.
I'd like to pray for a parent or parents who have gone through extreme life circumstances and are grieving loss of or disintegrating relationship with a child. Not a child who's passed away, but loss of relationship with that child.
Okay. Now, who among you responds to that word? Okay, I want you to see that however many hands are up, there's that much grace available, plus those of you who aren't raising your hands. Don't think because one person responds, oops, there went all the juice. No. When God gives a word like that, it's for whoever will respond to it. And if He singles it out in a moment in time, that's because He wants to do something on your behalf. So let me ask you to stand, and we'll let those who are needing to respond to that come to Marie, and she and these prophetically inclined folks will pray for you. If you need to begin a relationship with Christ, you realize you are still under the rule of principalities and powers and authorities and mights and dominions, and you think, this can't be good. You're right. This is not good. So if you'd like to begin a relationship with Christ, then I ask you to come here to my right. Pastor Don will meet you, and you can come out of darkness into light. And I promise you, it's better than any amusement park you ever went to. Is that true? We're talking woohoo and more. Okay? And this one won't cut your feet off. Cable snapped. Never mind. I'm working on my timing. I'm sorry. All right. If, however, you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit to be empowered to live a consistently upward life in Christ rather than the yo-yo that defines your life, then come stand here as well. We'll pray. God will give you the Holy Spirit because Jesus promises to baptize you with His Holy Spirit. That's one of the things He likes to do because it's such fun for Him. So the two of you can have fun and we'll watch. And finally, if you've reached a decision about being water baptized by immersion as your testimony, I'd like you to sign up today so we can start making preparations. If you need a specific date, put it down there. We'll work with you to try to make that happen, okay? Father, we thank You for the truth and the clarity of the Word of God because You have given to us the spirit of wisdom and revelation. And You open our eyes to understand. And I pray, God, that You will open every eye to understand that there will be an opportunity for You to be glorified afresh in our lives. I speak blessing over these households and those they represent and ask that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ will increase in each life. That the love of God the Father will so overtake each one of us, we will be transformed by the mere knowledge of it. And that the communion of the Holy Spirit will be our 24/7 relationship. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Head for the altar, toward the door. Don't forget the fellowship downstairs. I'll join you in a moment.